I'd like to bring this Government Operations Committee meeting to order. The time I have is 11:15 a.m. Roll call, please.
Second Speaker Hamilton.
Here.
Congressman Keane.
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon. Congresswoman Redcorn.
Here.
Speaker Shaw.
Present.
Chair Goodfox.
Okay, thank you for the roll call. We do have a quorum. Chair Goodfox is out today, so I will be running the meeting. Next item on the agenda is prayer. Speaker, will you do us the honor?
Yes, thank you. I'll be happy to. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for another beautiful day to serve you and to serve the Osage Nation. Lord, please give us the wisdom and clear minds to make the best decisions for the Osage Nation. Lord, we just ask you to lift up all of the families that are in mourning at the moment and take care of all the needs that are spoken and unspoken. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. Please look over the minutes dated April 21st.
Clerk.
Yes.
It's probably really nitpicky, but on page three, on the Fifth Amendment that's listed at the very top of the page.
Yes.
After line 137, it probably needs to say strike, and then whatever, what it's in quotation marks after that.
I got it. Thank you.
Chair.
Congresswoman Redcorn.
Motion to approve the minutes dated April 21st, 2025, as amended.
Got a motion made. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Congressman Keane. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say yes.
Yes.
All those opposed, minutes are approved. We are scheduled to go to 2 p.m. today. The first item on the agenda is ONCA 2556, an act to amend the Treasury Law at 15 ONC Section 2305 to prohibit unqualified and unappointed persons from serving as interim or acting treasurer and establish alternate effective date. Congresswoman Revard, you are the sponsor and you have the floor.
Okay, thank you, Chair. At this time, I would like to make a motion to postpone ONCA 2556 to the call of the chair.
We got a motion made. Do we have a second? We got a second by Speaker Shaw. Discussion? You just going to do the call of the chair until a future date? Okay. Any more discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say yes.
Yes.
Okay. Motion is approved. ONCA 2556 is tabled to the call of the chair or postponed to the call of the chair. Next item is ONCA 2568, an act to establish a rental assistance program for elders and to establish an alternate effective date. Congressman Potts, you are the sponsor and you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. ONCA 2568, it's pretty straightforward. It's a bill that establishes a rental assistance program. Its companion bill is ONCA 2569, which authorizes and appropriates $500,000 to the executive branch to carry out the rental assistance program. What the rental assistance program does is it's limited to, one, members of the Osage Nation. They have to be age 65 and older, living on a fixed income, and provide proof of recent rent increases. What this does, it will cover 70% of the increase in the amount of rent for 12 consecutive months or 15 months within a lifetime of an Osage member. So what this would look like, let's say your rent is $1,200 per month. If there's about a 4% increase, it takes you to $1,250. 75% of that $50 increase is $35. The nation would be able to cover that $35 for the individual, which would be approximately $420 per year. So what we're doing is helping these individuals either stay in their current rental unit for a period of time until they can find something else that is more affordable or that has a lower rent, or stave off that eviction just a little bit. So pretty straightforward on the bill. There is an intention to reduce the appropriation. We've gotten some numbers from the executive branch regarding the number of individuals who this may even apply to. Number of individuals over the age of 65, according to our membership office, is 3,235 members. Some of the census data predicts that as many as 10% of those individuals could be living on fixed income or be renters. Actually, sorry, more are living on a fixed income than that, or what I would label as a fixed income, but 10%, maybe renters in general. So doing that rough math, I have an amendment for a reduction in the appropriation in the next bill. But as far as the mechanics of the rental assistance program, happy to entertain any suggestions and see what we can do to move this out. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any questions for the sponsor? Congresswoman Redcorn, then Congresswoman Rebar.
On the 70% of the deficit, can I ask where that number comes from? It feels a little bit arbitrary, but I would imagine that there's some science behind that.
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's not some science behind it. I am more than happy to amend it. I know, right? Shocker. I would love to cover 100% of the cost. I don't think that that's fiscally responsible. There's got to be some ownership of the individual that's in that property, and it needs to be incumbent upon them to either seek new housing opportunities or to find a method to pay for some of that increase. So I thought a 70-30 split would be nice. I'm more than happy to entertain 80-20, 95-5, however that works.
Chair, if I could follow up. I'm asking that for a couple of reasons. So I think when I ask these questions about fixed income and things like this, I come at this from a perspective of I manage my mother-in-law's finances, and she is on Social Security disability. So that's a fixed income. And I know every year they get a little bit of a, quote, raise. I know that it's most likely not enough to cover any kind of a rental raise in this. It also generally balances out, depending on how fixed their income is, it balances the cost of their Medicare premiums that goes up also. So they tend to have a net, they don't really net anything, a gain or a loss generally every year. Sometimes they benefit. Some this year, I think my mother-in-law, after her Medicare premiums went up slightly and she got her, quote, raise, I think she gained like an extra $18 a month. But I can't remember, and I can look really quick to see like what the percentage of rate, like the raise that people on, because when I think of fixed income, I don't know, maybe, and that's, this isn't the right mindset either, but when I think of fixed income, I think of those who are not drawing retirements or pensions that vary. I think of those who are just drawing Social Security disability or just their regular Social Security retirement, because that is very fixed. If you're generating investment income or pension income, that generally fluctuates and it's an additional income. But, and I could be wrong in that mindset, but I would be curious to see what the raise was for Social Security this year and to kind of see like how that translates. Basically, if it's a, if you're drawing $1,800 a month in Social Security after you pay your Medicare premiums that are about $300 a month, give or take. Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking out loud a lot. And then also in here, you have the living on a fixed income as a statement. What do we determine that to be? Or are we just going to leave that open for interpretation?
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for your questions. So I agree. What is a fixed income is hard to determine. And yes, they get a cost of living adjustment. Let's call it that. It's not that, but there's an adjustment there. On most retirement systems or public assistance programs, what those don't account for generally are cost increase from inflation or anything else that impacts our elders. So yes, it may cover cost of, you know, increased healthcare, but then we're leaving out higher expenses for groceries and other things. So what this bill is specifically designed to do is at least try to take care of the housing aspect, let whatever system they are on help take care of any increased costs there, and then anything that we can offer through the nation assist in other ways. What do I consider a fixed income? That's hard to put a number on, right? We have elders that live only off of headright income. We have elders that are on public assistance. We have elders on Social Security. Take your pick. What I can see is that 61% of our elders who responded to the census data, while not comprehensive, 61% of them fall in the category of annual income between $10,000 and $49,999 a year. Having looked at a lot of tax returns in my life, I'm going to venture to say that that's generally Social Security. And so that's what I would most often classify as a fixed income, but this bill does leave it open to executive interpretation. So if your fixed income doesn't include Social Security, and is only headright income, that's a fixed amount. If it's Social Security, it's that. Even if it's retirement and you're living off of fixed draws and you can document this is all I get every month and my rent's increased and here I am, say through a private pension system, that's a fixed income to me. That may not be a fixed income to the executive branch, but that's something that I would hope they would consider. If they have an elder that's come to them and said, hey, I worked for a union for 50 years and here's my pension, it's not going up, but I'm about to lose my house because they increased by $75 a month, we should be able to help that person.
Congresswoman Rivard.
Yes, thank you. And thank you, Congressman Potts. I do like the face of this bill in that it kind of helps us address the housing crisis that we, you know, have talked about. And a couple of things. I was wondering if you would be opposed to us lowering the age to 55 from 65. And the reason I say that is in a lot of our direct service programs, I'm back to being consistent, like housing, they use 55. Our broadband, we use 55. And I think we had kind of looked at this on another bill before,
but was trying to create that, you know, we know that people the age 55 and over are now grandparents. And but in order to address the housing crisis, I was wondering if, number one, if you would be open to lowering the age to 55, and then also knowing that we have a crisis program and we have our voucher program that address rental assistance, would this be a program that we could use to complement those? Like, it doesn't say, well, if you're using the voucher, which they usually, just so you know, there's an executive order in place that you're to use federal dollars first. Now, I don't agree with that. To me, it's case by case, and you address the need, not the, you know, whatever policy allows for that person to get the assistance. So what I'm trying to say, Congressman Potts, is that I want to make sure that they're not restricted and they could use this assistance plus maybe another program to assist as well to ensure the rent's taken care of. And so you have financial assistance offering one of those rental assistance through crisis, and then you have Brandon operating the voucher through HUD, through housing. So also kind of what you mentioned too on the fixed income, a lot of times we talked about this yesterday about getting creative and making sure that our folks qualify and they're eligible with the fixed income are our shareholders, because they get their, like I get my, I receive my payment monthly because I can't wait quarterly. Right, so, but these folks that choose not to do that, when they get hit with their payment quarterly, they become over income. So just what I'm hearing in your bill is that it's not based off of income guidelines, which I like.
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So yes, it's not based on income. We would like to see a fixed income, which really just looks at a monthly income. You know, are you going to have a problem making your monthly payment? That's what we're after here. I have no problem decreasing the age to 65. Happy to offer that amendment here in a moment. What I will say is that may just provides a little bit of false hope. There's not many 55-year-olds that I know that are on fixed incomes, but there may be some, and I'm happy to help them. There are more 65-year-olds that I would say that are on a fixed income. But I certainly get your point. Well taken. I'm happy to entertain that amendment. What I will say, though, is by opening up to more people, I'm probably not going to reduce the next bill, 2569, by as much, because I don't know how to get a handle on 55 and up. I've got a pretty decent handle in my mind on 65 and up. So would you support a higher amount in 2569?
Let's see.
Not higher than 500, but
right. Here's where I would just make a suggestion, Congressman Potts. I like the amounts that you have, but would you consider also amending your effective date to roll into October 1, so it gives the programs time to create policy and roll it out in an effective manner? Because I'm afraid if we say right now, and then we're kind of like, I don't want us to be fighting for the dollars. I want it well planned out. It's not something that's going to make me not support your bill. I'm just saying, would you consider that? Because I like how Congresswoman Goodfox, you know, made her effective date October 1. It allows, what is this, April, May, June, July, August, at least 4 months of them to develop policy to roll this out properly. That's just a suggestion, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I hear what you're asking about the 55 and older, and I think for me, where my head goes in this, because I see where he's trying to help our elders and those that are generally on retirement. I see the 55 year and older, I hear what you're saying, but I think if they're not, okay, so where my brain goes, let me start back a little further. Where my brain goes ahead of your 55 and older is to our disabled folks who are also on a fixed income. So that removes the 55 issue for me, because to me, if you're 55 and you're an older, up to 67 now, I guess, or whatever retirement is, if you're between those ages and not on disability, your income earning potential is still present. So you're not on a fixed income. And so I think about our disabled folks who are on a fixed income before I think about our 55 to 65 year old people who are still earning a wage. Now, because I say that, because if they're 55 and on a fixed income, they're likely disabled. The stats would show that that's the category they would fall in more than, because otherwise they still have an income earning potential. And so that, and I don't want to try to like put burden here, but that they would still be able to be in the workforce or look for a different job, or not job, a different apartment that maybe has different rent. It's their circumstances, I think, would be different. So I think when I think about our 55 and older people and that, to put them in this group, I would think for me, I would have to put our disabled folks in the group first before I consider, because I think those people in that group that you're referring to would be disabled because they would be on that fixed income. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I can see that. And I'm thinking of some of our folks now that are in our housing, elderly housing right now, that are around 55, you know, that are on fixed incomes. And what I'm trying to think is how we could make more people qualify for this program rather than restrict it. So I'm thinking if it were 55, there's not going to be that many. I mean, I would hope not, but it probably, we don't know. But I'm just thinking of the people that I do know that are in our senior housing that are on a fixed income that are probably closer to 60. But I see what you're saying too, Congressman Potts. I mean, really the main title of your bill is elder. Yeah. So I don't want to disrupt that either. So I see where you're going. So I was just wondering if you guys would consider it, because I'm starting to see that now, you know, there are a lot of 55 year old and above raising their grandchildren. That's just where we are right now. That's kind of the group of the demographics I'm thinking about in some of ours that are disabled, like you said, Congresswoman. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. At this time, I'd like to make an amendment. Page 1, line 27, strike 65 and insert 55.
Second.
Second.
We got a second. Discussion?
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Pretty self-explanatory. It drops the age to 55. I'm currently working on an amendment per Congresswoman Redcorn's concerns, but I agree. Dropping to 55, it's probably not going to catch that many more, but I agree. So there you
more
go.
Discussion on the motion. Congressman Keene.
Motion to recess for 10 minutes to give Congressman Potts time to.
We're in the motion. We've got to vote.
Okay.
Any more discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say yes?
Yes.
Okay, amendment passes. And do you need a few minutes, Mr. Potts?
I don't believe so, Mr. Chair. I think I.